17th meeting of the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission Executive Committee meeting. I am the chair and my name is Charles Casperi, and I represent the Las Virgenes Municipal Water District on the Bay Commission's governing board. And I would ask Caitlin to do the introduction to meeting of the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Committee. Oh.
Apologies. I think that was some feedback, Chair, but it's all cleared up now.
Would you go ahead and do the introduction to the meeting procedures?
Of course. Thank you, Chair. As authorized by Government Code Section 111.33, this meeting will occur remotely, solely via Zoom, without an in-person meeting location. All members will be able to unmute themselves as needed, but we ask that microphones stay muted unless participants are speaking. All public participants will remain muted, and we will unmute you when it's your time to speak. If you have questions or comments, please use the virtual raise hand function. This can be found at the bottom of the screen on the Zoom app. And if you're participating over the phone by calling in, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and *6 to unmute yourself. This meeting is being recorded, so we ask you to please speak clearly. And for technical support connecting to or using the Zoom meeting platform, please email it@agpvideo.com. That concludes the overview of logistics. Chair, I recommend that we move to member roll call and introductions. Oh, you're muted, Chair.
Thank you, Caitlin. Please proceed with the roll call, and I would ask participants to also identify their affiliation as a part of the roll call process.
Thank you, Chair. Give me one moment to start sharing my screen. Okay, Jonathan Bishop.
Jonathan Bishop, Chief Deputy Director of State Water Resource Control Board.
Chair Casperi. Oh, you're unmuted, Chair.
Charles Casperi, Las Virgenes Municipal Water District.
Thank you. Tom Ford.
Yes, good afternoon. Tom Ford, Director, Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program.
Thank you. Barack Kamelgard.
Hi, Barack Kamelgard, alternate for Bruce, resident from LA Waterkeeper.
Thank you. Catherine Peace.
Hi, Catherine Pius for Heal the Bay.
Martha Tremblay.
Hi, Martha Tremblay, LA County Sanitation District, alternate for Robert Ferrante.
And Claire Wagoner.
Claire Wagoner, State Water Board, alternate for Jonathan Bishop.
Thank you. I think that should be all of the members present today. So, Chair, at this time, I recommend that we move to item one, public comment.
Thank you very much, Caitlin. Now is the time that members of the public may address the executive committee on items not on the agenda. Caitlin, if we have received requests, I would ask you to unmute the participants by order of request, and public comments on all items will be limited to 4 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. We received one request in advance from Walter Lamb, who could not be present today in the meeting. So he requested that we read his written comments for him. So if Nate, if you could help start the timer for 4 minutes, please, and then I will start reading Walter Lamb's comments. Thank you so much. Okay, again, these are comments from Walter Lamb of Bayona Wetlands Land Trust. The Bayona Wetlands Land Trust appreciates these comments being read into the meeting record. The short video that was sent to EC members showing multiple board members of the Los Angeles Regional Water Quality Control Board requesting updates on SMBRC activities in general and an update on the Bayona Wetlands Restoration Project specifically should serve as a model for the Executive Committee and Governing Board of the SMBRC to make a similar request for an update on the Bayona Wetlands Restoration Project. The purpose of the Commission is not to shield fellow members from transparency and accountability. Conversely, the purpose of the Commission is to serve the public interest by ensuring increased levels of information sharing, coordination, and consultation between member agencies, entities, and public stakeholders. California Fish and Wildlife, the Coastal Conservancy, the Bay Foundation, the Los Angeles County Flood Control District, the state and LA Regional Water Boards, the Coastal Commission, and US EPA are all entities that are represented on the commission and which have a role in the Bayona Wetlands Restoration Project. Additionally, Heal the Bay and Los Angeles Waterkeeper have made numerous public statements regarding the project. Any of these entities should be able to provide insight into the status of the full project that was certified in the final EIR almost 2 years ago. It is a troubling sign that the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program Director is now stressing that restoration of the Bayona Wetlands is, quote, not my project or my program, end quote, a sharp reversal from past statements. The commission was named as an important legal agency for restoration planning back in 2003 when the Wildlife Conservation Board acquired the property. Since that time, countless SMBRC documents have stressed the importance of restoration of that ecosystem to the commission. The current CCMP action plan acknowledges the commission as a collaborating partner in the process. An agendized detailed update on this project is long overdue. The members of this executive committee are respectfully urged to consider the interests of the public, not the interests of fellow members, and recognizing that an update is consistent with your mission and purpose. Having a clear and realistic understanding of the status of the proposed project will help inform interim management policies. Most of this ecosystem is in a state of neglect, with documented decline in delineated wetlands that needs to be addressed in the near term. Thank you for considering these comments. Thank you, Nate.
Thank you very much, Caitlin. Are there any other requests to speak on agenda item one, comments from members of the public?
I do not see any hands raised at this time, Chair.
Thank you, Caitlin. We will move on to the executive committee business. And the first item is the order of the agenda. Staff has no changes proposed to the agenda. So the order of the agenda will stand as published and distributed to all interested parties. Now is the time that I would ask Marissa to provide a report as Chief Administrative Director. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Chair. So hi, everybody, and welcome. Thank you for being here today. I know things are busy as we move into holidays, so I really appreciate all of your time. The first thing I'd like to do is to introduce a new alternate for Bruce Resnick of LA Waterkeeper. Barack Camelgard is a senior attorney with LA Waterkeeper, and he is with us today. So welcome, Barack. We're glad to have you.
Nice to meet everybody.
Okay, on to an update. Commission staff has been working on Prop 84 project management, Prop 50 grant agreement execution, responding to Public Records Act requests. And we've also scheduled an SMBRC Technical Advisory Committee meeting for December 14th to move forward on the next State of the Bay report. Also upcoming, we will begin collaborating with the Bay Foundation on the draft annual work plan and begin early planning for the Santa Monica Bay Stakeholders Public Workshop, and you will see both of those early next year. I'll also mention a few recent meetings that support CCMP actions. So in late September, USC Sea Grant hosted a sea level rise groundwater and adaptation workshop that focused on results so far of a modeling study in the Marina Del Rey area. This was on flood risk. And we met with them again last week to discuss any potential overlap with the projects being implemented by the Bay Foundation. The study examined trade-offs and cost-benefit of options such as a seawall, dunes, or sluice gates to mitigate flooding. And they should have a report out soon, which I will share when I receive it. On November 2nd, there was also a fish contamination education collaborative meeting hosted by US EPA to bring partners together and provide activity updates. This group is associated with the Montrose DDT contamination and focuses on angler and community education and outreach. And at that meeting, Heal the Bay actually provided an extensive update. And since Catherine Peace was at the meeting and she's here today, Catherine, please feel free to share any updates that you feel may be relevant to the group. When I'm done with this, please. I think you're better able to do that than me. And just yesterday, the Greater Los Angeles County Integrated Regional Water Management Leadership Committee met to consider approval of Prop 1, Round 2 recommended projects. These were recommendations from the regional subcommittees. And I'm happy to say that we approved the slate of 17 projects with 4 backup projects. This represented a lot of work from the subcommittees. West Basin actually did a lot of work coordinating, and we ended up with a robust and diverse group of projects that addresses multiple community needs, including stormwater capture and water supply. So the approved projects included implementation projects and disadvantaged community projects with total funding for LA County of about $20 million. Another $20 million was divided evenly between projects for the Ventura and Upper Santa Clara River management areas. And I also just want to mention, we're now moving through fall toward winter, through the warm season. And as you know, all of you know, this summer fall season has been unprecedented for the water districts in terms of restrictions, new programs, and new partnerships to distribute water. So we're lucky to have multiple excellent representatives from water suppliers on our executive committee. So if any of you have updates or thoughts on how water conservation efforts have been going, new developments or strategies moving forward, I would be very interested to hear them. I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but I know this is a critical topic and it's important for the executive committee to stay current. So. And lastly, to close, just for your planning purposes, I want to let you know that the December 15th governing board meeting will be fully remote with no physical meeting location. And I hope that will make attendance easier for all. So thank you. And I welcome any additions, comments, questions.
Marissa, I'm just going to jump in quickly and state that we had Edward Caldwell, alternate for Gloria Gray, representing West Basin Municipal Water District join, and also Erica Yelensky, representing US EPA Region 9 join. Thanks.
Thanks, Caitlin, and welcome to both of you. Okay, I don't see hands.
Yeah. No, Marissa, I'm sorry. I'm driving, hence I don't know how to raise my hand.
Okay, got it.
But I was curious about maybe some of the nature of that IRWIM meeting that you were referring to. And again, I don't know if others on the committee may have participated, but I know I wasn't able to make it. So I'm just curious about some of the priorities or what may have been discussed.
So the regional subcommittees had actually been the ones who scored those projects and made recommendations based upon their allocated funding to the leadership committee. And yesterday, the leadership committee heard presentations on all 17 of the projects and approved them as a slate. So, and like I said, it was a diverse group. EJ may have something to add. He was also very involved in the process in our sub-region committee as well as the leadership. EJ, did you have anything to add on IRWIM approval yesterday?
No, other than I think the positive nature of it was that you saw extremely diverse projects, which is something that I've been a huge advocate for. And I know Las Virgenes and LA County have really been pushing for a number of years. It's, you kind of see the ebbs and flows of different projects being initiated or introduced into integrated regional water management, but really finding that robust kind of mix of projects is vital to the success of the region. So it was great to see water supply projects, open space projects, stormwater projects, water quality projects. all within the mix. And it was even, I think, better to see that almost every subregion had about three projects that were funded through it, which is a significant piece of it, because if people aren't getting, or agencies aren't getting their projects funded, they tend to not participate. And there was only about 3.6 or 3.8 million per subregion. So to fund three projects out of each subregion, I think, is crucial. So that part was great to see as well.
Yeah, well said. And a lot of the applicants were flexible and cooperative in reducing their funding amounts or whatever they needed to do to make it work for everyone. So, Erica, I see your hand.
Thanks, Marissa. So I might have missed this. Can you provide, are most of the projects for water reuse, like supporting that, or are you like restoration, or could you just speak to that a little bit more, or if maybe EJ could?
Go ahead.
No, please go ahead. I was just going to say, as you said, and I said, it's diverse. So all of the above, but go ahead, EJ.
Yeah, let me get a project list for the group and we can circulate that around. I can tell you that in our area, there was a recycled water project that West Basin had put forward, but the city of Torrance had a water quality and recharge program, and then Manhattan Beach had a restoration program. So that was just within our subregion, we had all three. And we got through most of them. It was a pretty long meeting and they were going through the project presentations. So we didn't get through them all, but I noticed that there was a little bit of everything in there, a lot of stormwater and water quality, and a lot of open space and restoration projects as well. A few recycled water projects, but not and I would say two to three within that category.
Thank you.
Okay, if there's no other questions, Chair, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Marissa. Tom, are you ready? Both hands on the wheel now.
Yes, thank you, Charlie. And my apologies, folks. Poseidon treated us very well on the water, but I must not have made a significant enough offering to the god of traffic. I will do my best without my notes. I appreciate everyone's patience. And thank you, Marissa and EJ, for the information about the IRWIMP meeting. In similar vein, I think where I would start my report is that been a great deal of effort and interest invested at the EPA headquarters level, at the regional level, and then amongst the various NEP programs, as we continue to inform approaches to the fulfillment of the equity strategy, which is a key component of the bipartisan infrastructure law, BIL funding, and the projects that had moved through both the governing board and the executive committee in August and September, respectively. So we're looking forward to the support from EPA to better identify our baseline characterization, which from what was been shared with us over a series of presentations and workshops over the past many weeks, will capture the suite of projects that the NEP has supported or participated in, applied to a GIS map, global information systems, hence GIS map. That will be, sort of a start of looking at where our investments in the past have been. And I think the ostensible approach to this is that then through the lens of equity, future investments, utilizing the BIL funds, should perhaps display a different pattern of investment, better targeting communities or the assets that disadvantaged communities are utilizing within our study area. So more to come on that, and certainly it'll be before both this committee and the governing board in the early part of next year, as we expect that we need to submit that equity strategy no later than June 1, 2023. Marissa had already spoke to our annual work plan. That will be developed much along that same timeline. So looking forward to interacting with everyone, building off of this year's past efforts, and looking into the future as to the priorities for our upcoming fiscal year, which would start in September of 2023. Sort of moving towards some of the efforts and actions of the Bay Foundation in fulfillment of the current work plan, be happy to give you folks a bit of a rundown as to where we're at. And in this case, I'll start on the with our coastal adaptation program and a large focus on the beach restoration or dune projects that we now have from Zuma and Westward Beach to our northwest edge of our study area into Santa Monica, Dockweiler, Manhattan Beach. This is a time of year with hopefully more rain to come where we expect to see some of the emergent vegetation that's already in those project sites to grow and expand and start to bloom. I was out on the beach on Tuesday in Santa Monica and some of the primrose, beautiful yellow flower produced by that plant were already in bloom. Very nice to see. This is also a time of year where we're adding new seeds into these landscapes and lining up planting. We certainly have many thousands of plants to get into the ground over the coming months, namely in Manhattan Beach and off of at our project at the LAX Dunes. So staff's been busy getting that all together. We also will continue to do maintenance work and monitoring across those sites, and in addition, the program or project site that we have in the Biona Wetlands Ecological Reserve. So that's sort of captures much of the action within the Coastal Adaptation Program. For our work off the coast and ocean resilience, the team will be diving tomorrow for monitoring and to collect some of the equipment that we use on the bottom of the ocean to acclimate abalone that we outplant to the ocean. We'd like to get some of that equipment out of the way before the bigger storm energy of the winter rolls in. So we'll be looking to go out there and collect that tomorrow based upon the ocean conditions today. I hope that the team has something similar. It was absolutely beautiful out there this morning. We continue to conduct restoration of the kelp forest off of Palos Verdes. So those efforts are ongoing and pending some of the actions today by this committee. Expect to be presenting on the work at the upcoming governing board meeting in December. And also we'll be presenting at Restore America's Estuaries, which is a conference that'll be in New Orleans, Louisiana, in the first week of December, the first full week of December. And that presentation will be on our transplant efforts with Zostera pacifica, Zostera pacifica being the taxonomic code for a offshore species of eelgrass, of true vascular plant with roots and flowers and everything that grows on the bottom of our bay and in other places in Southern California. And then moving on to our environmental engagement program, our staff have been busy working with the environmental charter school system, rehabilitating or establishing new compost bins, supporting the students and the faculty as they develop more curriculum surrounding those composting operations on their campus. It really has turned into something of a living laboratory
in addition to the community-wide benefits that it offers for these folks to have the experience of cultivating food and fruits within their school grounds, and in some cases involving the greater community. We also had made some notable progress with leadership from the state California Clean Boating program with a lovely webinar just 2 weeks back, highlighting some of the peripheral work that we and others are engaged in trying to keep our coastal waters clean. And in this case, it was Bay Foundation staff presenting on our continued efforts to provide convenient, safe, and effective sewage pump out services in many harbors and marinas in Southern California, helping inform their performance in other places extending up the central coast of California. There were additional presentations on how to dispose of your marine flares safely, which was, to tell you the truth, quite fascinating. The presentation that carried the day for me was regarding human contact and exposure to both micro and nanoplastics. The presenter in that case, I thought was not only compelling in his presentation, but really enlightened my thinking as to where these nanoplastics and microplastics are actually manifesting from in my personal daily life, but I think largely applicable to many of us in general. So that's a highlight of some of what we've been up to, and I hope I'm transmitting clearly. And if there are any questions, I'll be happy to try to address them. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Your presentation was came through loud and clear. Any questions for Tom on this? Tom, I know that Marissa mentioned the State of the Bay report is being worked on. Do we have any timing on the release of that?
So we are still running underneath the timeline that was shared with you by then Vice Chair of the TAC, Dr. John Dorsey, which is we're aiming for that second quarter, midsummer 2023. The progress that I think we've made as of late is starting to nail down the elements of not necessarily the substance of the report, but the structure of the support of the report. Sorry. And in that case, Charlie, what we're trying to accomplish is to make this a web-based product rather than a bound or a hard copy. We're looking to create a web page or web pages. That decision has yet to be finalized. That will enable the general public as well as others to quickly orient to the State of the Bay report, its purpose, why the seven habitats that we focus on, why we focus on those, the information that we're interested in acquiring from them that will help us understand the trends within those habitats, as well as hopefully whether or not the various efforts of various management actions that the broader National Estuary Program here is involved with are causing to manifest off our coast. Are things getting better? Is a given habitat expanding and becoming larger in its scale, as well as perhaps improving in, let's say in this case, its ecological condition? We also are feeling very confident that instead of trying to produce a single report on a periodic basis that encompasses all of these various habitats, that we would like to approach it in a serial nature, where we are publishing a report on a given habitat or a few of those habitats in a given year. The workload being distributed a bit more broadly would help all of us, I think, produce consistent products of a high value and be able to better engage in a more with more continuity across time. So Maybe that was more than you wanted, Charlie, but that was my long answer.
That was perfect. Thank you, Tom. Any other questions for Thank Tom? Any questions for Marissa? Seeing none, we will move on to the next item on the agenda for Executive Committee business, and that is approval of the consideration of the Executive Committee meeting minutes from September 15th. If there are any changes, I would ask that you incorporate those in a motion to approve.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Thank you, Martha. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, EJ. There being no changes proposed, Caitlin, would you call the roll on the motion to approve the last set of EC minutes, please?
Certainly. I will just share my screen. Okay, Jonathan Bishop?
I'll abstain.
Thank you. EJ Caldwell?
Yes.
Thank you. Chair Caspary?
Yes.
Thank you. Barack Camelgard?
Yes.
Thank you. Catherine Peace?
Yes.
Thank you. And Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Thank you. The meeting September 15 meeting minutes are approved.
Thank you very much, Caitlin. And let's move on to agenda item 2D. And I would ask Marissa to introduce this item, approval of our meeting calendar for next year.
Yes, thank you. So we've provided a proposed schedule of meeting dates for the 2023 Executive Committee meetings for your consideration and approval today. The meeting day and time, the third Thursday of odd numbered months at 1 p.m., is the same as we followed in 2022. So staff recommends that the Executive Committee approve the proposed 2023 meeting dates. And if approved, staff will send out the dates and the calendar invitation and post them on the website. So are there any questions or concerns with the proposed dates?
Questions or concerns with the data. I just have a question on the meetings. Are they going to continue to be virtual or are they transitioning to in-person or is that to be determined?
Thanks, Jonathan. So we have the legislative approval through July. And I think we decided as a group that the EC meetings would remain virtual and that it was the governing board meetings that we'd have a mix of virtual and hybrid. So if that's something we want to revisit, we can.
Not necessarily. And so through July, and then after July, if there's no change in the law, we'd have to go back to in-person. Is that correct?
It is correct. Maybe Eric has insight if there's updates, but I was under the impression that this was a stopgap in the hopes that there would be some sort of a longer-term fix to having to publicly notice locations to join remotely, but of course that remains to be seen.
This is Eric Gilman. I don't have any updates, but I can just clarify that the provision allowing for remote meetings sunsets on June 30th. So starting in July, we'll have to be in person, barring some sort of other legislative fix or executive action.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you very much. If there are no other questions on this, Marissa, do you want a motion to approve the meeting dates?
Yes, we were planning to do a vote on that. Thank you.
I'll move.
Thank you, Jonathan. Second, please.
I'll second.
Thank you, Catherine. Would you call the roll vote on this, please, Caitlin?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Jonathan Bishop?
Aye.
Thank you. EJ Caldwell?
Yes.
Thank you. Chair Caspary?
Yes.
Thank you. Barack Camelgard?
Yes.
Thank you. Catherine Peace?
Yes.
Thank you. And Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Thank you. The 2023 Executive Committee meeting dates are approved.
Thank you, Caitlin. We'll move on to the next item, and that is to establish the governing board meeting agenda for December 15. Marissa, would you introduce this one?
Sure. So the first item is the governing board chair election, and we provided a staff report that included a draft nomination and election procedures document, and I'll briefly summarize for you now. The commission's MOU states that the voting governing board members shall elect a chairperson from among the voting governing board members, and that person will also serve as chair of the executive committee. The chair serves a two-year term and may serve consecutive terms. The last chair election was in December 2020, so an election is needed at the December 2022 meeting. Commission staff recommends that the chair nomination period open Wednesday, November 30th, and close on Tuesday, December 13th, 2 days before the governing board meeting. I'll distribute a notice when the nomination period opens, and voting governing board members or their alternates can email nominations directly to me. Self-nominations are fine, and floor nominations will also be permitted on the day of the governing board meeting. So staff recommends that the EC approve the governing board chair election for the December 15th governing board meeting agenda. And of course, I'm happy to clarify or answer any questions on the elections at this time.
Any hands raised on this? No, then we will. Jonathan?
I was just gonna say, I move that we adopt the and move forward with the election.
Very good. Is there a second to that?
I'll second.
Thank you, Martha. Let's go ahead and consider the rest of the items for our agenda. And Jonathan, I think we'll just do it and we'll hold your...
Yeah, I just was thinking that she needed something to move it right now because of the going out next week or the week after with the... I'm fine with that.
Oh, you're right. You are absolutely right. We've got a motion and a second. Marissa,
thank you both. I think we're okay to vote on the agenda as one, as we normally do. But if either of you have another preference, that's fine too.
I'm fine with that. Thank you. I just got caught up with thinking about you needing to get out the notice right away, and you might need something on that, but it makes sense. We're just approving the agenda item as part of the agenda, and then you'll of course have to do the prep work for it. Thank you.
Thank
so
you.
So I decline my recommendation, and Charlie, that's no reflection on you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Let's move on to the next item of consideration for the agenda, and that would be the approval of governing board meeting dates. Marissa?
Yeah, so this is going to be a familiar one. So we proposed a schedule of meeting dates for the 2023 governing board meetings as well for their consideration and approval at their upcoming December 15th meeting. And for that proposed schedule, the meeting day and time, the third Thursday of even numbered months at 9:30 a.m. is also the same as we followed in 2022. There is an exception for the December 2023 meeting, which has moved forward a week to avoid holiday conflicts. So staff recommends that we schedule consideration of approval of the proposed 2023 governing board meeting dates for that December 15th governing board meeting agenda. Are there any questions on those meeting dates? Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Marissa. And let's move on to the consideration of a record retention schedule. Marissa.
Yeah, thanks. It's me again. Okay, so commission staff and legal counsel are working on a draft SMBRC records retention schedule, which defines the types of records and establishes the timeframes that documents must be retained. The California Records and Information Management Program, which is known as CalRIM, establishes guidelines, and they review and approve state entity records retention schedules. So the state entity also appoints a representative to serve as the records management coordinator to coordinate with CalRIM for their approval of the schedule. Commission staff submitted a draft record retention schedule to CalRIM recently for feedback, and we will incorporate their edits and ensure the draft meets record management guidelines. Before the governing board meeting, we'll distribute a staff report, including the final draft of the records retention schedule and the form to designate me as records management coordinator so I can work with CalRIM on behalf of the commission for their approval. And of course, their approval will follow approval by the governing board in December, or consideration of approval. So staff recommends that this item, consideration of adoption of a record retention schedule, to be submitted to CalRIM for approval, and the appointment of the records management coordinator be included on the December 15th governing board meeting agenda. And I'd be happy to clarify or answer any questions on this item. I don't see any hands, Chair.
Thank you, Marissa. Let's move on to the next item for consideration of inclusion in the meeting, and that is the Santa Monica Bay Catch Basin Insert Project at City of Rancho Palos Verdes. Caitlin, would you introduce this one, please?
Certainly, Chair. I'll give Marissa a break. So this item is a presentation from City of Rancho Palos Verdes staff on their Santa Monica Bay Catch Basin Insert Project, which furthers Action 16 and 17 of the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan, which are to support activities that achieve total maximum daily loads, or TMDLs, and to implement stormwater runoff capture projects. For some background, in 2016, the governing board recommended four projects for Proposition 84 grant funding that prevent contamination and degradation of coastal waters and watersheds in Santa Monica Bay, one of which is the Catch Basin Insert Project that's implemented by the City of Rancho Palos Verdes. The purpose of the project is to prevent trash from entering storm drains and subsequently the ocean by installing connector pipe screen units into catch basins that flow to Santa Monica Bay from streets across the Palos Verdes Peninsula. In 2020, the city completed installation of connector pipe screens into over 1,000 catch basins throughout the cities of Rancho Palos Verdes Estates, and Rolling Hills Estates. Commission staff and State Water Board staff and the Division of Financial Assistance have been working with the city to close out the project and wrap up remaining deliverables. As the project comes to a close, we felt it would be a great time for the governing board and public to hear a more detailed discussion of this project and to highlight the important role the commission plays in leveraging resources and prioritizing funding to benefit Santa Monica Bay and its watersheds. The presentation will cover the goal of the project, techniques used to meet the goals, so highlighting what a connector pipe screen is and how it works, for example. It'll also cover monitoring results and assessment of whether the project met the desired outcomes and lessons learned. Also, if members have additional suggested content for the presentation, those are always welcome. Just please let me or Marissa know during this meeting or by email, and we'll be happy to pass that on to the presenters. So that concludes my report, and I can answer any questions if members have any.
No question, but I look forward to hearing that, seeing the presentation.
I agree, Jonathan. Storm drain screen systems is a tall undertaking. And I know Caitlin, if you have the opportunity, I'd like to hear how they addressed some of the issues with high velocities on the streets, because Palos Verdes has got some streets that are fairly steep. And I think that complicates trying to trap that stuff and get the water into the proper storm drain at the same time. So that's one open question that I have about these programs, how they engineered that solution.
Thank you, Chair. That's a great suggestion. I'll make note and pass that along to the city staff.
Thank you very much. And Marissa, if you would give us a introduction on the kelp forest restoration presentation.
Sure. Thank you, Chair. So Tom alluded to this one in his report. This proposed informational item is a presentation on kelp forest restoration efforts by the Bay Foundation. It directly supports action number 2 of the SMB NEP CCMP action plan to restore kelp forests. And as you know, the Bay Foundation has a long record of kelp forest restoration work, which stands out on a global scale. And this presentation would inform and update us on that work. This presentation was actually approved by the executive committee for the April 2022 governing board meeting, but we had some time constraints at that meeting and it had to be rescheduled. So we're really excited to get this one in before the end of the year. So staff recommends that the EC approve this presentation for the December 15th governing board meeting agenda. Are there any questions? Okay, if there are no questions, this is the last proposed item for the agenda. So Chair, I recommend we can now move forward to a vote.
Okay, I'm ready. Dominate.
Thank you very much for your motion on this, Jonathan. This is, these will include items EI through E5. Small v. Is there a second, please?
I'll second again.
Thank you, Martha. Caitlin, would you call the roll on this?
Of course. I will just get the roster up. Okay, Jonathan Bishop.
Aye.
Thank you. EJ Caldwell?
Yes.
Thank you. Chair Casperi?
Yes.
Thank you. Barack Camelgard?
Yes.
Thank you. Catherine Peace?
Yes.
Thank you. And Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Thank you. The December 15th Governing Board agenda is established.
Thank you, Caitlin. Now is the time for member comments and announcements on regarding matters not on the agenda. Member comments and announcements. Really communicative group today, I see. You guys must have a long list of things you got to get done before 5 p.m.
Yes, as always, Charlie.
Next, thanks for the energy that you're bringing today, Jonathan.
We'll move on to
forgive me, Chair. Erica Yelensky and Catherine Peace both have their hands raised.
Thank you, Erica.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Caitlin. EPA just announced funding through the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law this past Tuesday for recycling programs, I think for states and for local governments and nonprofits. So it's a considerable amount of money. It is a nationwide, a national solicitation. I just wanted to point out also, it includes reuse. So it's not just recycling. I know that doesn't fit like neatly into a lot of your jobs, but obviously, you know, we owe a lot of what we clean up is, you know, what isn't properly managed or what's overconsumed. So I'll share the announcement, and if you can share that with your colleagues that work directly in that field, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica. Catherine.
Thank you. Just wanted to alert folks to a couple of events that we have coming up, Heal the Bay. So we've got we're launching some drought conversations called Blue Table Talks. So our first one is actually this Sunday. It's going to be taking place in Ken Molloy Park by Machado Lake. And so we'll have a couple of drought experts there. It'll be an in-person event, as well as there's a virtual option for joining. And I can share these links with Marissa to send around. So we've got that one this Sunday. And then our next one will be on December 3rd. And that will actually be in conjunction with two watershed tours that our watershed coordinators will be leading that gave presentations to the governing board last month. So we'll be starting at SoFi Stadium at that one and kind of highlighting some of the stormwater capture things happening there. And then the two watershed tours will diverge and one group will go through to look at stormwater projects in the central Santa Monica watershed area. And then the other group will go to the south Santa Monica Bay watershed area. So those tours are open and people, you're all encouraged to come along and share that with your organizations or agencies too. So I'll send along the info. Thanks.
Thank you, Catherine. Any other announcements? Seeing none, the next meeting of the Executive Committee will be January 19th at 1 p.m., unless the Governing Board decides to change it in December. We will go ahead and I thank all the participants and the reports today. We will see you in December. The meeting is adjourned. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Bye. Happy Thanksgiving.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks. You as well, Charlie.
Bye.
Thank you all.